Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This silver dome is reserved for very special feasts, and it doesn't contain ham and eggs or sausages or pork chops. It contains a whole roast suckling pig with glistening brown skin and an apple in his mouth. We're doing roast suckling pig.
Gonna throw it. Slant. This bug's for you, Mizzou.
They are carving up this LSU defense.
You don't get no better than that, man.
Now Cook's gonna throw the deep ball. And Burton's past the defense. Touchdown, Luther Burton. 47 yards.
Place kick is up. It is.
Yes. Now a walk-off winner from 61. Harrison Meadus.
This is the Mazzotcast.
Howdy, Tiger fans. Welcome to the Mazzotcast. I'm your host, Brendan Anthony. Joining me, as always, is my longtime brother, Colin Anthony.
What's up, dum-dums?
And we are coming to you after the final regular season game of the college football season, where the number 9 Missouri Tigers defeated the Arkansas Razorbacks 48-14. What a bloodbath.
Wasn't that close.
That's right. The 14 points were all garbage time, nothing.
Yeah.
Scores. It was a bloodbath like I'd never seen in a long time.
Yeah, since I'd seen since Tennessee.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been quite a while.
2 weeks prior. Yeah. You know, Colin, this game, Missouri was always the better team, and we knew that on paper everybody should be picking Missouri to win it. I think they were 9.5-point favorites. But you just worried, you know, like, oh, we had been hoping for a special season. You know, it was within our grasp, and, you know, these are the kind of things where you can let it slip away. Missouri never gave any indication they were going to let this one slip away. They came ready to go. And they absolutely dominated an Arkansas team, which didn't look like it had much to play for.
A couple things that this game sort of illustrated for me was, one, something that's been more and more apparent as the season wears on, is that Cody Schrader and this offensive line are dominant. Not just good, they're dominant. And this is an offensive line that earlier in the season, I was like, I just don't feel like they know how to impose their will when, you know, when it's time to run the football. Like, they don't seem to be able to get the job done. And, man, they have completely flipped the script. Like, the last 5 weeks, they have just been dominant, as I've said. And the other thing is I think it says to me, like, Florida's a better team than I thought they were.
Yeah.
And not that Mizzou shouldn't have beat them more handily in that game, but I think part of that was, this, you know, you watch this Arkansas squad, you watch that Tennessee squad, you watch South Carolina, and you just go, man, Mizzou's just a better team. They're outclassing these teams. And while I think we're better than Florida, and we did beat Florida, I think Florida's closer to Mizzou than any of those other teams. Yeah, it was great. And there aren't a lot of teams in this country that I think can beat us. And for all the blabber about you know, who's in the top 10 or who should and shouldn't be, part of the reason Mizzou belongs there is who is going to hold up against Cody Schrader in this offensive line. I mean, he had over 100 yards against Georgia, and a lot of people think that we should have committed to the run more in Georgia. So if we're just going to just run roughshod over everybody when it comes to the running game, how are teams like Ole Miss going to get in our kitchen about being able to play with us? Or Louisville, who lost to Kentucky? You know, give me a break. Missouri would just absolutely pummel these people. You know, the only teams that have been able to hold up to Mizzou's running game are basically Georgia and LSU. And Missouri certainly didn't commit to the running game in LSU. So I don't know. They're a dominant team and deserve to be higher than 9, personally, I think.
Well, they were one play away from being number 8 in the country and being ranked higher than Alabama, but Auburn had to choke at the last second. So we should get into that later.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But yeah, Missouri looked great on the run. Cody Schrader had 217 yards on the ground, most of that in the first half. Funny thing about this team, Colin, is that they're so loaded with wide receivers and talent at that position, but we've become a running team. I think Cook only had 112 yards passing in this Arkansas game. Over half of it, I think, went to Luther Burden III, but most of the work was done on the ground.
Yeah, and Cook's throwing was as shaky in this game as it's been in a few games. I mean, some of the passes he completed seemed to be sailing on him, and he was not sharp. This was not Cook's best game, which says something about the Tigers managing to at one point be up like 40-0 with their quarterback having a sort of off night. The defense was just dominant. I mean, there was never a point where I was like, after the first quarter, I was like, Arkansas is not going to score. Like, they just have no answers. Like, we are so much better than them. And our defensive line is pummeling everyone. I mean, what was the third play of the game? They took out their best player, their quarterback. I mean, I don't know. It was a dominant performance. And honestly, what I expected from this game, Twink Caleb was texting us being like, oh, this scares me. I was like, I wasn't scared at all of Arkansas. Like, this went exactly the way it should have went.
You mentioned that KJ Jefferson went down early, and obviously that had an impact on the game. But, you know, when it was the third quarter and Missouri was leading 41-0, I was just like, that's the score of a college team playing a high school team. Like, this is Arkansas doesn't belong on the same field as Missouri right now. And keep in mind, we were in Arkansas. We were in their home turf. You know, everything was in, you know, they had the advantages that they had. And they could not play with the Missouri Tigers this year. And I kind of wanted to hear what Arkansas fans had to say, because they were in a position where the excuse-making would be difficult. They were getting absolutely throttled and dominated by us. And so, you know, we hear a lot of excuses from opponents as Mizzou fans. But when you're beating a team 41-0, it's pretty tough to make excuses.
Yeah, they're like, man, if that official just had called the game different.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know, it's a 40 point deficit at this point. I'm not sure that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, if one hold call had gone the other way.
One thing I really enjoyed in this game was Brett Norfleet having a coming out party.
Yeah.
That guy is a big, scary, crazy ginger tight end. He's just ready to just destroy the SEC. I hope he's here next year. I have to say that with every player, just because of the fucking transfer portal. But
right.
if Theo Weiss does come back, as he alluded to in Luther Burden's Instagram's live feed, and we got Luther Burden back, and we have Norfleet, and we have Cook, you know, hopefully you find a running back to replace Schrader. And hopefully this line, whatever line lines up over the ball next year is good. But I mean, like, I don't know. This team looks like it could be good for a little while. You know, I don't want to get overly optimistic. I feel like, you know, you could be like a team like Duke and win 9 games last year and then followed up with only 7 wins. And, of course, that got their coach hired. But anyway, I just don't want to regress. But with a 12-team playoff and Mizzou having many of their integral pieces back, it's easy to be optimistic.
Yeah, Norfleet, I think he scored 2 touchdowns in about 6 seconds of play clock time, that was enjoyable. You know, you mentioned Weiss saying he was going to be back next year. He did get it right on Twitter the next day and say that he takes backsies, I guess. He was like,
see that.
Yeah, he disavowed it after the day, after night had passed, I guess. Whether that means he's not coming back or whether somebody got in his ear and be like, hey, don't make any promises, bub. Regardless, I wouldn't count on it yet. But anyway, this is a team that is loaded with talent, and hopefully, you know, it's going to hurt to lose Cody Schrader. You know, he's a big time talent, but at the same time, Colin, think about it this way: the first week of the season, we're saying, you know, it's going to hurt losing a guy like Tyler Beatty because he ran all over the place with this team last year, and we're not talking about
Roundtree or Crockett.
Yeah, the guys do get replaced, as good as they may be, and we'll find another running back, hopefully. I mean, Nate Pete is not a bad running back, and there are guys behind him who can run the ball. I mean, Schrader's having a special season, but yeah, we'll make do.
I mean, I think about the season that Beatty had and how excited we were about that. And if you would have told me that, if you had told me the beginning of last season when Cody Schrader and Nate Pete were kind of competing for the starting job, that one day Cody Schrader will eclipse everything that Beatty and Roundtree did, I would be like, you're fucking crazy. You're a crazy person who is taking drugs.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what he's done. I mean, he hasn't just had a good season. He has led the SEC in rushing. He is squarely on the Mount Rushmore of Missouri running backs. And I'll say this for Drink. One of the things I loved about Drink coming up in that interview, because, you know, Drink is a feisty guy. He loves to lip off, and I don't always love it. It's easy to love it when we're winning. It's easy to hate when we're losing. But he got into that interview and said, quit talking about this like it's a feel-good story. This motherfucker is leading the SEC in rushing, and it ain't close. You know, he's having the best season of any running back in the country.
Yeah, he said.
And if that doesn't qualify you to be in the Heisman conversation, then what does?
Yeah, you want your coach to be doing that. You want your coach to be put. And Colin, I guarantee you, when it's on CBS after a big win, after your guy has done big things, your coach getting out there and forcing that conversation on national TV to say, talk about this guy for the Heisman. It doesn't give him the Heisman. But I guarantee you it starts conversations about things like that that wouldn't have happened without your coach having your back.
Yeah, that's what's great about playing these games. You know, I was thinking about that yesterday when I was watching Florida State and Florida play one another and thinking, like, this is it's in a prime time spot. Maybe this is one of the reasons that those programs sort of look down on Mizzou, because they live in those time slots for their rivalry games more than we ever have. But this year, Mizzou has gotten those games. They have been in the 3:30, the 6:30, the CBS, the ESPN. You know, this is not SEC network stuff. The profile is just so much higher when you talk about recruiting and just the national awareness of your team. Because those time slots are made for college football fans, not just team fans. Like, I'm a Missouri Tiger fan, but I would not count myself as a college football fan. I have not watched a fucking snap of ACC football. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I watch the Missouri Tigers, and then I watch the SEC. And beyond that, everybody else is in a different universe. But, you know, the people that are watching these primetime, big-time games are college football fans. They watch these games regardless of whether their team's playing in it. And it's so nice to know that Mizzou's in these time slots. So these people who are college football fans, not just team fans, can appreciate this program and what they're doing.
Well, one thing that they're doing, Colin, is they have had their third 10-win season since they've joined the conference. Missouri's only had 5 10-win seasons in its program history since 1890, and 3 of them have come during our time in the SEC, which makes me ask the question, is the SEC too easy for us? We were in the Big 12, we didn't have this kind of success. We've been told we don't belong in the SEC, but I'm wondering if maybe we're too good for the SEC.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to go that far just yet. But I feel like it's not out of hand to say that. No, Missouri has been on an upward trajectory for a while. It started with Gary Pinkel, and Lord knows we have had down years, and the Odom era didn't do us any favors. But Mizzou is, I went on that whatever podcast for one of our, you know, Florida podcast guys a couple weeks ago, and, you know, just told them, like, Mizzou is not Vanderbilt. They've never been Vanderbilt. They were very competitive in the Big 12. They're very competitive in the SEC. And so even though all of these mouth breathers in the SEC don't know who Mizzou is and want to just put us in this Vanderbilt box, it's like, guys, you shouldn't be shocked. We have never been Vanderbilt. We've won 10 games three times in this conference in a decade. When has Vanderbilt done that?
Well, when has
Tennessee done that since we've been here? Like, that's the fucking thing that drives me crazy. The Floridas, the Tennessees, the Kentuckys, all these programs that want to, South Carolina, want to talk shit at us. And it's like, listen, I understand that you guys might have done something in 1912 that I don't know about. Sure. Right. I agree that that was probably awesome. The things that you did before I was born, or my children were born, or half of the fucking fan base was born. I'm sure it's all great. But since we've been around in your conference, we've been better than you. Plain and simple. I don't know what barometer you want me to use to judge myself and my team against you if it's not the head-to-head matchups we've had in the last decade.
Yeah, you can go down the list of teams we played in this conference and how many times we played them and what our record has been. And we are right there with the best of them. You know, we've competed with almost Georgia being the biggest outlier, I would say. I think we've only gotten one win in the entire time we've been in this conference against Georgia. But against every other team, we look okay, or we look pretty good. You know, Ole Miss, we have I think we're 7 wins to 1 loss. Arkansas, obviously, we dominate regularly. There's a lot of programs that we have, you know, Tennessee, for all their bluster and all their talk about what they once were, I think we're 6-6 against that team. So, you know, at some point after decades passed, and these teams say, yeah, well, this is the worst stretch we've been through. This is the worst 30-year stretch that we've ever been through. That's when you've caught us. At some point, you have to say, like, well, maybe this is who you are. Like, at what point is it not just a bad run, but it is baked into the cake of what your program is, and our wins against you count, you know? And so with these other teams that try and dismiss us, it really falls on deaf ears after a season like this, a season which no one expected, and yet they've proven every doubter wrong, including us, and any sort of hollow excuse you might have for why these wins came at a certain time, or they caught a team at a bad moment, or any sort of pathetic excuse you can place together. When you win 10 games against a solid SEC schedule, I think I have seen in the top 10 teams in the country, Missouri has the 4th most difficult schedule. You have a schedule like that, you put together a resume like we put, there's just no way you can diminish what Missouri has done. And I know Ole Miss wants a New Year's Six game, and I know they have the same record as us. And I know that they beat LSU when we didn't. But there's a lot of other football games that took place, including a Georgia game that we looked really good against, and they absolutely got exposed in that game against Georgia. Sorry,
well,
Ole Miss.
That's a perfect example of Mizzou being more dominant and better than number 9 even. Because I think people who are watching this football, Ole Miss is a good football team. Tennessee is a good football team. It's not that these teams shouldn't be ranked. It's just like, Mizzou's really good though. I mean, they have a component in this offensive line and Cody Schrader that, you know, we would demolish Ole Miss. And I don't feel like I'm being a homer in saying that, just because Ole Miss's defense would not hold up. Cody Schrader and this line would run that stretch play down their throat, up and down the field for 4 fucking quarters. And our defense is good enough, especially in the back end, and our edge rushers. I know that Ole Miss loves to light up scoreboard, but I don't think they would hold up. Honestly, Ole Miss, I'd say Mizzou's good, a touchdown to 10 points better than Ole Miss. Just objectively.
I think Missouri, the college football rankings will come out in a day or two, a couple days. And Missouri currently sits at number 9. I fully expect they're going to stay at number 9. But Ole Miss, for any hope they might have of jumping us, I think it's ridiculous, because they kind of limped past a bad Mississippi State team in the Egg Bowl on Thursday. And Missouri absolutely crushed their opponent in Arkansas on the road on Friday. There's nothing that has happened in the week since the polls came out and we were put at number 9 and Ole Miss was put at number 11 that they should certainly jump 2 spots past Penn State and Missouri. There's nothing to – Missouri has done nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, they've looked even better, and they have gone up in both the AP and the coaches poll. And Ole Miss did not do anything against Mississippi State to make you think that they had been ranked too low. So sorry, Ole Miss, you can cry and bellyache and moan all you want, but where you sit is where you'll be, and you're just on the outside looking in when it comes to these New Year's Six games, and Missouri is going to be talking about where they're going to play on January 1st. So suck it.
Well, they love talking about ranked opponents. I'm like, give me a break. Mizzou beat Kansas State. Mizzou beat Tennessee. Mizzou beat ranked teams just because they've fallen off since then. I mean, Jesus Christ. Up to like last week, I was seeing people rank Kansas State ahead of Mizzou, even though we had beaten them heads up. And now we get no credit for beating them? Give me a break.
Yeah. And I know that we lost to LSU. I know it ended up being a 10-point game. But everybody who watched that game knew that in the first half we dominated LSU and that we did fall apart and we shit down our legs in the second half. But I think if we played LSU again today, and granted, LSU has played better as the season's gone on, I think we beat LSU. I really do. We're that good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the team that demolished Tennessee was not the same team that LSU played.
Yeah.
The team that demolished Arkansas was not the same team that LSU played. We were finding our feet then. And that may be one of the stories of this season is like we were good from the beginning. I mean, we beat Kansas State. But like if you – to me, like we played Kansas State again, oh boy, Kansas State would be in for an absolute – drubbing. You know what I mean? Like that was a team finding its feet. And by the Tennessee game, that, the Tennessee game was sort of the coming out party. Like, okay, we know we're good. We know what we are. No more quarterback controversy. No more Nate Pete. No more. We knew what we are. We knew what our offense was. We're a run first team. We knew what we wanted to do on defense. No more of the fucking weak ass soft zone. We were going man with blitzing. You know, like we had defined who we were going to be. And we just started hitting people in the mouth. And it was, like I said, I think LSU and Mizzou play tomorrow. LSU, we give LSU all they want. I don't want to say we would beat them consistently because that seems maybe a little too much. But I'd say if we played them 10 times, Mizzou's going to win 5 of those games, maybe 6 of those games. It is hard. And I know there's Ole Miss and Louisville podcasts saying the same shit in reverse right now, but I'm like, I just can't imagine a scenario where these guys watch Mizzou football and think that their teams are going to hold up to that.
I agree, and I think it's going to be fun in the following week where we get to speculate about where we are going to be sent, you know, in the bowl season and who we'll be up against. I think it is telling that the college football playoff bowl, when that you look at who's ranked where, and you see there's currently it's nice and clean for the bowl committees. There are 4 unbeaten teams. Those become the playoff teams. Easy. Easy to pick. Then you've got a number of 1-loss teams. And then there's a stretch of 2-loss teams. And the fact that Missouri is a 2-loss team and they're ranked above every other 2-loss teams shows that they are getting respect on a national level. They're ranked higher than Penn State.
That's what comes to those national games.
Yeah. They're ranked higher than Oklahoma. They're ranked higher than Ole Miss. They're ranked higher than Penn State. These are national brands, and we're ranked higher than them. And we're ranked higher than them for a reason.
Yeah, because like I said, if you watch Mizzou football games, there's an element of this team. There's 2 elements of this team that make them better than those 2-loss teams. And one, it's our pass rushing defense. And 2, it's this offensive line and Cody Schrader. You know, we can just keep repeating the same thing over and over again. We obviously feel like Mizzou deserves to be where they're at, and we have no issue with their ranking. If we do have an issue, it's maybe that they could move up a spot or two. But, you know, I saw a guy on Mizzou fan on Twitter, some Vol fan went to there like, man, Mizzou just has a knack for, like, being really good when the conference is down. And then somebody tweeted, I'm like, yeah, we've got the favorite for the Heisman Trophy. You know, 3 teams in the top 10 in the nation. You know, 1 team is undefeated, like number 1 team in the nation.
Yeah,
like,
defending 2-time national champion.
Yeah, there's like, I can't remember how many, there's so many 10 win teams in the conference. Like, yeah, really down. It's like, maybe you're just down. It was a Vols fan, of course.
Yeah,
but
yeah, of course.
Give me a break.
Well, that's what I say about the excuse making. And it just seems, they ring hollow. And Colin, it's amazing to be in the position we're in right now in late November, having the kind of conversations we're having about where we belong in the top 10, what New Year's Day bowl we're going to go to. Are we better than Oklahoma or Penn State or Alabama, for God's sakes? Like, these are the conversations we never expected to be having at the beginning of the year, and it feels really good. And I think it's probably a good time that we take a step back, take our first break, and then we listen to what our fans have to say about not only this game against Arkansas, but this season we've had where Missouri is 10-2 and looking to close out one of the best seasons they've had in decades. So why don't we do that now? This is the Mazzotcast.
Welcome
Hey guys, Mazodcast is now on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you can join our Patreon page and get extra content from the guys, outtakes from the show, and any insider news that we have, we provide it there first. It doesn't cost much and your support helps the show. Join the Mazodcast Patreon and be part of the team. Here are our secrets.
That time of year, the last Thursday in November, is a day we should all remember. Not because we're getting closer to a certain day, or all the sales stop that next Friday. It's a day when we don't need to spend anything but time with a friend. Time of giving, everybody. It's Thanksgiving. Time of love. Time of giving, everybody. It's Thanksgiving. When you sit on the couch this year, watching your favorite team, don't forget to pull your love in near and tell them they're still your dream. Even if your team gets beaten around and grandma serves a turkey with sauerkraut, remember that you're not alone, 'cause every American is stuck at home, spilling food and dropping forks from California to New York. Everybody, it's Thanksgiving.
We are back, and that's another holiday song from our friend and listener Dan Ruprecht and his band Three Lefts and a Right. Thanks for the music, and if you have a band and you want to get it heard, we'd be happy to play it for you on the Mazodcast. Send it to mazodcast@gmail.com. It's time to get into the Mazodcast mailbag now.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Hey, assholes, it's Jamerson from Branson. So, due to work, I am unfortunately stuck in the piece of shit at the very tip of the great butt plug of Dixieland known as Memphis, Tennessee. And as I'm driving around this huge piece of shit, it really strikes me to think that Johnny Cash actually left Arkansas to come here. That's how much of a piece of shit Arkansas is. That Johnny Cash was like, oh, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm taking that long black train to fucking Memphis. Hot garbage.
Hot garbage. Memphis has one street. The rest of it's a dump. Hot take.
I have to drive that bridge over 55 to get down to my in-laws down in South Mississippi. And every time I do, I white knuckle it because it's such a piece of shit bridge. It's such a dump. It looks like it's going to fall down. And I keep thinking like, God damn, this is the United States of America. It's embarrassing for our nation that this is a major thoroughfare. Memphis, get your shit together.
Seeing as the how yesterday was Thanksgiving, I thought I'd call in pregame and just list some of the things that I'm thankful for this year. I'm thankful for Desiree Reed Francois. She's a top five AD in the country. I'm thankful for Brendan and for Colin and the C-minus effort that they put into this show every single week. Thankful for Luther Burden and Brady Cook. Cody Schrader. I'm thankful for Fart Guy. I'm thankful for Mookie Cooper.
Aren't we all?
Theo Weiss, Brett Norfleet, Darius Robinson. And I'm thankful that Mizzou -7.5 is easy money. Gonna roll the hogs.
He's right. I don't know where he was getting 7.5. I was seeing 9.5, but it didn't matter. We blew him out by close to 40. Yeah, thank you. C minus. I mean, I feel like that's high praise. I wouldn't give us a C minus usually.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He's right in that we should mention Darius Robinson and Johnny Walker Jr. They've been good all season, and they don't get enough praise on this show or any place, really, because it's so easy to talk about Cody Schrader and Luther Burden. But they have been tremendous. And Johnny Walker Jr. is a junior, and so I don't know where he'll be that next season, but as long as he's in a Mizzou jersey, we're going to have some pressure coming from the edge.
What up, gang? Caron Jackpot checking in early first quarter. Why is it, man, the Arkansas Razorbacks uniforms remind me so much of South Carolina's? Probably because they blow fucking ass and they get sacked by Missouri a lot. Jeez, but on a serious note, I was thinking about something the other day. What do you think is greater the chance? Do you think that there's a bigger chance that there are more individuals in the Tennessee fan base who want to motorboat Josh Heupel's tits, or more fans in the Arkansas fan base who want to motorboat Sam Pittman's titties? I think it's a fair question. I'll hang up and listen.
I'll hang up and wait for the answer. Gosh, I would say that Heupel's probably winning that because man, I saw a lot of Arkansas fans not very happy that Pittman had sort of got the assurance that he was going to get another season before they ever played Mizzou. And then they just get demolished by Mizzou. And people are like, I can't believe we're keeping this fucking guy. And I was kind of like, I can't either.
Yes, sir.
But I'm happy you are. Do you remember, Brennan? Do you remember how high Arkansas was on this jackass? And it's yet.
Oh, Colin, how many times have we had to go through Arkansas fans telling us that their new coach will turn everything around, and all the things we've seen the entire time we've been in this conference are just an illusion, and this new coach is going to set it right. Well, so
in fact, I think we put Sam Pittman in a sitcom with Mike Leach at one point, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we did. We thought that those two belong in a sitcom together. Colin,
it was a shtick.
Yeah, that's right. And at one point, I thought about doing the work, and of course, I only give a C-minus effort, so I didn't do it, of pulling up old audio, because early on in Sam Pittman's tenure, and when he was having success at Arkansas early, you were saying, I don't buy into Sam Pittman. He has a shtick, and shtick fades, and it's not real, and he sucks, and I do not believe Sam Pittman is going to help Arkansas go anywhere. That looks prescient now, but I know you've never been a believer in him, and certainly Arkansas fans are on board with you now.
Like I said, I mean now, it's not just me trying to be glib. A shtick runs out. There's lots of guys who run on shtick, and they never last because shtick isn't a foundational program building component, you know. And so I think Sam Pittman's going to be back to coaching offensive line for somebody and doing a really good job of it very soon.
Well, but, I will say that I do think that when you're talking about the motorboat factor, he might get a little bit more support than you think, just because I think he's got better tits than Josh Heupel.
Oh, rocket knockers. Yeah. Rocket.
Right.
Yeah, hey, Marty from Kansas City. Great start. Schrader doing his Schrader things. But can Tyler Stevenson
Stevens.
Transfer portal, please? He's had more drops than it seems like the rest of the team. And he's not playing in front of North League anymore. Like, that dude's hot garbage.
But anyway, I had this conversation with
MIZ. Let's beat these fucking hogs.
I had this conversation with Brennan. You got to have more than one tight end. You need a blocking tight end. It's not his fault that we throw to him. It's the offensive coordinator's fault. So, like, you know, we should never throw a ball to him ever again. And Norfleet should be getting all the targets as a tight end. But you still need him on the team because you need a blocking tight end.
It's unbelievable.
And he does a fine job blocking.
It's unbelievable what a bad pass catcher he is. I mean, he just is terrible.
He really is. He is. I would like to see the statistics. I wonder if he's dropped as many passes as he's caught this year.
Oh, I mean,
I bet it's close.
He had three against LSU, and they were brutal drops. And the
much to blame for that loss.
Yeah, for sure. And the drop against Arkansas ended up not mattering. But, I mean, Brady Cook made the devastating decision to throw into his hands.
Yeah, worst place.
Yeah, it was awful. He cannot catch a football.
Man, that was an ugly fight, and I do not see things getting prettier. MIZ.
Yeah, the fight. We didn't even really talk about the fight, Colin. Two Arkansas players got ejected. One Missouri player was ejected. Arkansas came chippy.
It was weird. You watched that video. Arkansas fans are being like, oh, Missouri. Rickwood said we were here to fight, but look at the tape. I was like, well, here's what happened. It was getting chippy, and one of the offensive linemen for Missouri finished a block, probably longer than he should have. I agree. It was not cool. But it wasn't what started the fight. What started the fight is that that guy started walking away. One of the Arkansas players two-handed shoved him to the ground. That is what started the fight. Just so everybody knows. And when that guy was walking away after he had blocked that guy to the ground, the guy was trying to trip him and leg lock him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's like, so one, the shove is what started the fight. The person getting pushed to the ground with two hands is what started the fight, Arkansas.
It's just like Tennessee trying to claim that Cody Schrader punched one of their defenders during that game. They're just, it's cope. It's a cope. Their coping mechanism. They lost, and they're looking for any excuse to make it feel better in their little tiny brains because their little bottoms hurt because they got a big spanking.
Hey, what's up? It's Jamerson from Branson. Just went up 20-0 in the second quarter. Looking good. I hope we just keep on fucking rolling. Let's beat them 69-0. Fuck these Hogs and their bitch-made players and their bitch-made fans. Fuck this team. This is not a rivalry. Fuck you, bitch-made players. Definitely fucking care about this game.
Colin, 20-0 at the half. I remember you and Caleb and I were texting back and forth, and I said, it's a weird feeling to, obviously, you look at the scoreboard, and we are dominating, and this is a great position to be in, but I thought, we left a lot of points on the board. Should be up higher.
Oh, yeah. If we would have converted, you know, those field goals into touchdowns, we would have hung 70 on these bastards. Imagine if we didn't pull Cody Schrader out of the game and just, you know, put on full flaps and slow us down. I mean, like, imagine if we had just kept our foot on the gas pedal. We would have Drew Lock did to Delaware.
Yeah.
Delaware State or whoever that was. Remember that game where they just like 73 points just beat the brakes off of them?
Yeah, the possible Bearcats.
That's what this
Bearcats
looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Delaware possible Bearcats, as I recall.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Can we stop letting Drake call plays in the fucking red zone? Quit trying to get cute. Run the ball with Cody Schrader up the middle and get 6 points. Fuck. M-I-Z.
It's good to hear in a absolute fucking drubbing, which almost everything went well, that we're still getting some complaints.
Well, it's only natural.
The route is on, and that kick return by Arkansas, mwah, chef's kiss. Fuck you, Hogs.
So, again, Carolina Jackpot again. Third quarter now. 34-0, Mizzou up. At this point, it looks like a big clown car just pulled up to the stadium and just dropped the Arkansas players out to attempt to play football. They just look lost, disinterested, and ready to go home. Congratulations on your season. You guys, team, has given hope to just the middling programs, the SEC, that you can level your fucking shit up. So hopefully, my guys will be able to do it one of these days. But anyway, that shit, I mean, that's about a wrap. Oh, I think that, you also may have actually, gotten Sam with the big yams fired. I think they're going to let him go this weekend. I mean, come on. Goddamn. 34-0. I know they said he's coming back next year, but that don't mean they can't tell a lie. Anyway, M-I-Z, Z-O, me and you. Good job. Great job, nice. Actually, damn it.
Nice to hear. And he's right. You know, I freely admit that Mizzou has at times been a very much a middling program. And like I said, we've talked about this permanent change of residence, and I hope that's what this is. And I'd just like to tell Caroline Jackpot that look at JD from Arkansas. He became a Mizzou fan, and look how much he's enjoying life right now.
Mm-hmm. Things are better. Yeah, you got two choices. You can jump aboard the bandwagon while things are hot, or you can sit there and listen to Shane Beamer make fucking excuses as why he got beat by a bad Clemson team and just be a hog shit coach.
and we pull for South Carolina as much as we pull for any other program. I feel like that. I just probably because I like South Carolina Jackpot.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like this may be the difference between me and most fans or just Mizzou in general than other the programs. It's just like, I don't have sort of an outward vitriol for everybody else other than Tennessee. You know, I hate these teams when we're playing them. I hate their fans when they get in our kitchen, but like this, I don't know. I don't hate South Carolina.
No, I don't either. In fact, we've had some really good years going back and forth with South Carolina. And as long as they're not playing Mizzou, if it's got to be a, you know, who would you rather be atop the SEC if it's not your team? South Carolina or Tennessee? Well, give me South Carolina every time. And frankly, more than Florida. I don't have any love for Florida. I feel like they're a little bit more, they're not as bad as Tennessee fans, but they're kind of living in the past too. I'd much rather see a South Carolina team do well than a Florida or a Tennessee for sure.
We win in a game, dominating fashion. M-I-Z. What else can I say? Turn the music up.
That's our boy Keith.
Well, I'll tell you what, boys. Nothing caps off this regular season better than beating these self-entitled Hawk fuckers. And they're a beast of a head coach. M-I-Z.
Hey, this is Sam Pittman's titties calling in. We're hot, and we need some air. We're thinking, like, about being fired and going to sit on the beach in fucking Miami. No, all jokes aside, first time calling, that was a great win and great dominating win. First time we scored over 40 points. No one paid attention to that. But M-I-Z, Z-O, me and you, Carolina Jackpot, love you, bye.
You know what, Brennan? Mm-hmm. I hope this guy changes his Twitter handle to Sam Pittman's Titties so we know who he is.
Well, it's a good way to get new followers.
It's a perfect Twitter handle.
Hey, this is Seth in Springfield, Missouri. First-time caller, long-time listener. I will say Sam Pittman's titties have gotten a lot bigger over last year, which I appreciate because my wives aren't that big. So I just wanted to say that this was the first dominating win, I would say, that besides Tennessee, that we really needed. And we scored over 40 points. No one knew this, but we haven't scored over 40 points. So that was big for the program. I think Brady Cook and Cody Schrader are roommates is what I heard. I hope they both get blowjobs on the couch tonight from different women, of course. But I think this was a big win. And, man, New Year's 6, here we come. So, bye.
Did not expect a swipe at this random guy's wife's tits on the show. But sorry, lady.
Yeah, he made up made a good point. He brought up a good point in that. Mizzou took care of business today, and they didn't just win. They needed to drub Arkansas because of that, the arguments of programs like Ole Miss make a lot more – or have a lot more weight if you beat Arkansas 27-20. You know, but when you beat – you score nearly 50 points on them and only give up two touchdowns in garbage time after you take your starters out, that looks pretty good when the people that make the decisions about rankings – look at your team.
Sean, Kansas City, what a goddamn win. Fuck them piggies. I mean, just fucking beat them down. Wish we would have got the shutout, but shit happens. I mean, I'll take fucking 5 fumbles, Cody getting within 100 of our all-time single-season rushing record, and yeah, beat the fuck out of them. I'm Fartman, you are Fartman, we are all Fartman, M-I-Z.
That's right, we're all Fartman today.
What's up? It's your boy. I was on the ground in Fayetteville at JJ's, and they were chanting, turn it off at the game. Let's say, you know, we were 10-2, we're going to the Cotton Bowl. And let's fucking rock and roll, baby.
It is possible. Fiesta Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Peach Bowl, we're all in the cards.
I've seen a lot of people saying Peach Bowl and Penn State.
Yeah, hearing
it. Which, God, I like that. I like that a lot, because nothing would make me happier than to watch, you know, a blue blood like Penn State just gets steamrolled by Cody Schrader.
Yeah, I'd like that too. Also, they're pedophiles.
Yeah, enablers, Brennan. Let's be fair.
Was Rodney Carrington talking about Sam Pittman when he said, if you're a big fat man, I'm a titty fan? And also, what a fun year it was to watch these Tigers. I mean, good Lord, what a great team to watch. Night in and night out, this season has been way better than expected. It's been great. So with that being said, I'd like to go through my fuck you list. John Neighbors, who runs the worst fucking podcast I've ever heard in my life, fuck you. Trajan Jeffcoat, fuck you. Mississippi State face tattoo guy, fuck you. Time to pay up. The state of Arkansas, fuck you. Josh Heupel, as always, fuck you. And shout out Fart Guy. Love you, boys.
Bye. More fart love each and every week.
Well, I agree. The guy's Twitter handle is like Hail State, and he's of no one of real consequence, but he did say he'd get a face tattoo if Mizzou went 10-2 earlier in the year, and I fully expect him to get a giant vulva tattooed on his left cheek now.
What's up, everybody? Fuck yeah, M-I-Z. We got that win today. Fucking proud of our Tigers. But here's one thing I'd like to say. I know we have a fart guy, but as my man Colin would like to know, I think we need a porn guy on the Mazzod cast. And if I could give you guys a little visual, we just took our big veiny tiger cock out and we titty fucked Sam Pittman and those big voluptuous titties. M-I-Z, and let's go win a New Year's Six Bowl, baby. Let's get it.
It's a good time to remind people that if you have children in the car, this is not the show to listen to.
Yeah, take it off Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Jamison from Branson. So people always talk about Shane Beamer being a petulant child, which he very much is. He fucking sucks. But Sam Pittman is right up there with him for just an emotional roller coaster. Like, there's something to be said about the coach that can stay steady and stern like a field general, but whenever Sam Pittman's winning, you know, hitting his head on that 8-win ceiling, he's yes sir. But then whenever he's getting his brains beat in every other year winning 4 or 5 games, he looks like a fat sack of shit. So, well, hopefully he sticks around because I like beating the shit out of him, and I kind of like those episodes of Two Men and a Monkey. So, suck it.
Oh, that's it, Brennan. That's it. Leach and Pittman were going to have a monkey.
That's right.
How I Met My Monkey.
That's it. That's it. That's it. How I Met My Monkey with Sam Pittman and Mike Leach. Thank you for the reminder. We'll pull up the. We put a visual up, I think, when we originally came.
Yeah,
up
Brennan, I'm pretty sure that you made a sitcom poster.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
dig that up.
Yeah, we should. We may even have a spec script somewhere.
If we don't, we're just going to go to OpenAI and make one right now.
It's going to be a long off season, Colin. I think we can get that pulled off. Maybe do another Mazzodcast live theater, masterpiece theater, like we did during the crazy Mizzou softball email scandal several years ago.
Oh man, yeah, we could. What did they call that in the old days when the radio show? You know,
yeah.
Like War of the Worlds.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be the Mazzodcast masterpiece theater, the first ever episode of How I Met Your Monkey with Sam Pittman and the ghost of Mike Leach. Maybe it works better as the ghost.
Oh, Brennan, it does. That's a serious punch-up to the script, really, at the end of the day.
Sure. All right, I like where this is going. We got ourselves an off-season plan.
Hey, what's up, you fucking idiot? It is 3:30 on Saturday morning. I am getting ready to go duck hunt with my uncle, who's a fucking Arkansas fan, and I'm probably going to whoop his ass like Mimbo, whatever the fuck his name is. Beat the fuck out of them Arkansas pussies. Oh, by the way, fuck Arkansas. Fuck you. I want to titty fuck Sam Pittman. Love you, bye. Go fuck yourself. MIT, motherfuckers! Woo!
Oh, Phil is jacked up and has a gun. I don't know if it's a good combination.
Brennan, I forgot to tell you, Brennan wasn't at Thanksgiving for our family because he's still dealing with the repercussions of having children with medical issues.
Yeah.
Anyway, our cousin, producer Joel, who the real ones who have listened to the show from the beginning know, asked me, he's like, man, what happened to that one guy who called all the time? What was his name? I was like, super fan Phil. He's like, yeah, what happened to that guy? He hasn't been calling lately.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't know. And so I kind of called super fan Phil out on Twitter, like, hey, we're looking at you when we dropped the line out there. You know, I mean, I feel like, hey, I love fart guy. Well, we can have super fan Phil getting, you know, just falling by the wayside.
No.
Blowing up his spot. Come on, Phil.
That's right.
You earned the super fan moniker. You gotta live up to it.
Colin, I don't think it's any secret that super fan Phil was as much a fan of Caleb the Greeks as he was ours. And Caleb's not on the show as much as he used to be. And so I don't know if there's a correlation there where super fan Phil, you know, just isn't as inspired knowing that it's not going to go right into Caleb's ears.
I don't believe that for a second, Brennan.
Okay.
Woke up this morning, still can't shake off the erection from yesterday.
It's not how you get rid of it. Brother. It's not how you get rid of that erection. You don't shake it off. You wank it off.
The fappening.
Yeah.
Well, I'm calling 24 hours after we absolutely beat the piss out of Arkansas. If Cody Schrader isn't in the top five best running backs in the country, then the journalists are all blowing each other off for a Michigan or Ohio State running back. I don't know what to say about the fight. I thought that both sides behaved each other equally badly. They need to grow up. Drinkwitz is lying. They all came for a fight. It was his usual backstabbing shit. But fuck them. We cleared that stadium up by the second quarter. Now they can go back to, you know, fucking each other's cousins. Anyway, fuck that. M-I-Z. See you in your New Year's Day ball, baby.
Z-O-U. That's right.
You know what, Brennan? He's right. Everyone in that fight was at fault. We wasted how many hours tweeting and everyone tweeting it back and forth. Whose fault is it? Like, is it a bunch of idiots being idiots on both sides of the ball? You know, I don't want to be a homer and be like, oh, Mizzou has no fault in this. They absolutely had fault in that. Arkansas had more fault in it. But yeah. Mizzou is definitely not without guilt.
And, you know, honestly, there are things you can do that are out of line, way out of line. But a lot of these fights, in football especially, they're all wearing pads. These are guys who are super jacked up, and we tell them all year long, hit each other as hard as you can. And then when they get all excited and there gets to be a fight situation, we're like, hey, don't hit each other as hard as you can. You know, they're 20 years old. It happens. It's not good. You should discipline them in the ways they need to be disciplined. But ultimately, the thing I love about football is like offsetting penalties, replay the down, and that's the end of it. You know, it's not like a big deal. There we go.
Fart guy reporting for duty. Thanks again for that fart love from that sexy, tasty horse cock gent last week. Just an unbelievable game, and obviously nothing but fart love for the Tigers this week. So, with the year winding down, I wanted to kind of throw out a best of for the pod voicemails this year, and also a request. So, in no order for the best of, definitely JD's blowjob when he converted to the Tigers, the Keith development, JD shitting himself. Followed by a second horse cock that also did the same.
Yeah.
Fart love in general. And finally, Carolina jackpot and everything that can be positively inferred from that. And then lastly, just a request. I mean, from the bottom of my sack, please bring back the robot that was on one of the pods either last year or a couple of years ago. Regarding the new ticketing system. Fart guy out.
Do you remember that robot, Colin?
I don't. I don't remember.
You don't? No. Well,
no.
This was like preseason or early season. I do think it was last year or the year before. I think maybe last year. Well, there was just like news that the athletic department was going to issue like these robotic ticket vendor, I don't know, just like you could just go up to a robotic stand and get your tickets or something. And we interviewed the robot itself. But we could always – Paul Feinbaum.
I remember this, Brennan. I think maybe that robot system may have had nefarious intentions was something that I recall.
Yeah, there were hints of possible attempts for global domination, but mostly – it was Mizzou ticketing that it was interested in. I mean, I'm just going to take it at its word, but you know, the Feinbot knows a lot of these robotic systems. If we wanted to interview any robots, I think we'd go through the Feinbot and we can find our mark. But yeah, thank you, Fart Guy, and thanks for all our callers over the course of the last year. I think there's a lot of new callers this year, which is not surprising given the success that the team has had. I know that Colin and I have seen a lot of new listeners to the pod simply because Mizzou's good.
Yeah, it's the follows on Twitter, the listenership on the podcast, it all just is, you know, we go as the team goes. And so we certainly appreciate everybody who's listening, who's new to this. I know we're not everybody's cup of soup, but me and Brennan a long time ago were like, we're going to do the show we want to do. And that means we're going to say a lot of naughty words and use a lot of sophomoric humor. And but yeah. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just who we're going to be. And we're glad that there's people out there that want to listen to this crap. And Fart Guy, I appreciate you showing love to everybody. But if there's an MVP of calling in this year, I'm afraid you're going to win that award.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, nobody else is getting like tips of the cap every week other than Fart Guy. And, you know, well earned. Way to go. And it's time to move on to a segment that's really just become a regular segment that we get to do each and every week. It's time for Sour Grapes. What you got there, Sour Grapes? You got a grip of sour grapes. Colin, traditionally, Arkansas has had this weird superiority complex where they think they're too good to even have us as a rival, so they don't want to recognize this game as a rivalry. Yet there's no reason whatsoever, before or after we've joined the conference, that Arkansas should think that they're better than us. So it does lead to good sour grapes. And, of course, Jay Bryan helped us out by just dumping grape after grape upon us. Do you have any that you'd like to share?
Yes, I do, Brennan. At John Gruden's penis, like it already, wrote simply, fuck Mizzou.
Sour grapes.
The classic.
The go-to. The gold standard. Brennan, the pessimistic Razorback, says, I fucking hate Mizzou, but my God, do I hate us just as much, if not more.
I like this.
Yeah, that's a little self-reflection. It's hard not to get that way when you're getting beat by over 40. Somebody says, Mizzou's trash. Am I right?
Sour grapes.
Not really. You aren't right.
No, you're not right at all. I saw this sentiment so much from like that neighbors guy and fans in general, just like Arkansas's better than Missouri.
Yeah.
Like when is this going to end? Because we're better than Missouri. But like, if you go down their history, they're not better than Missouri. They never have been better than Missouri.
No.
And Arkansas just doesn't treat Missouri this way. They think they're on a par with like lots of teams in the SEC. And it's like, you guys, I mean, it's a fucking tight race between you and Mississippi State for Vanderbilt of the West. Yeah. You're a lot closer to Vanderbilt than you are what you think you are. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you're Vanderbilt, but I'm saying you're a lot closer to that than this weird.
Yeah, they think they're LSU.
You guys have with some kind of dominant program.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind that Arkansas has only been in the SEC since the early 90s, so they don't get to have all these other like Tennessee, oh, we're a founding member, blah, blah, blah. Arkansas doesn't even have that, so I don't know where their feelings come from. Hey, Will Compton says, trash team, trash university, trash state, Missouri is trash, LLLL.
Sour grapes.
Again, what does that make you?
Like, we're just better than you in every single way, but we're trash. So mm-hmm. I love that a person gets so angry about his football team that he just goes and just sprays this all over social media. It's great. It's terrific. It's why we get to play sour grapes. Brennan Hogburner writes, Mizzou is the least classy team in the SEC. Now, guys.
Sour grapes.
Jim, enough with the classy, okay?
There's one thing, you know, like, I'm not saying Missouri in general is classy. But when you're stacking us up against the Mississippis and Louisianas and Alabamas and the Floridas of the world, Jesus Christ, we might as well walk around with a monocle and a top hat all the time.
And Arkansas, for God's sakes. Look at your stands.
I didn't even mention Arkansas.
TXP Bunch of Numbers says, fuck Mizzou, and I'll stand on that till the day I die. Bunch of pussy thugs.
Sour grapes.
Yeah, thugs don't go to college. Britain had to, Jonah Rabbit writes, Missouri fans are wildly classless.
Jim, enough with the classy, okay?
Sour grapes.
Didn't know classiness was such an important aspect of a football team for Arkansas people.
Yeah. Well, and they're not even talking about the football team. They're talking about the fans in general. We just lack class.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of pearls to be clutched on the Arkansas fans. Instead, I saw a lot of naked pot bellies and hats of pigs and what clearly looked like genetic swishing around of genes that didn't branch out very far.
Yeah. But then what I would say is I see a lot of diabetics and pre-diabetics.
That's right.
Mama's got the sugar.
Yeah, I think they kind of like have to put a lot of the fans' A1C numbers up on the scoreboard in the middle of games at Arkansas games.
Yeah. At halftime, they like, everybody check their blood sugar.
That's right. Give yourself a little stick here.
Jumbotron reminder to everybody get out their those little things where they prick their finger and take a blood sample.
Football Dwayne says, there's no words for how much I hate Mizzou. Fans, players, coaches, all. But, oh, they're not a rival. Maybe it was forced, but it's here, and it's not going away. We'll continue to get embarrassed by them every single year until we start giving a damn.
Sour grapes.
This is one of the famous Arkansas excuses. The only reason we lose is because we just don't even care about you, which is a crazy thing to say about your team. It's an insult to your team that you don't even care about the games on your schedule. Why? I mean, what?
Yeah, how many of these games can you lose before you start caring about them? Michael Bennett writes, the refs have allowed Missouri to take control of this game. Mizzou plays dirty and gets away with holding on every run play. Mm-hmm. Arkansas doesn't stand a chance. So this guy believes that the 48-14 drubbing was the result of officiating.
Sour grapes. Well,
this is true. We've learned this since the Kentucky game, Colin, that obviously Missouri, the fix is in for Missouri. The SEC wants them to win every game. The blue bloods like Missouri get, we hold on every play that's never getting called, and that's the reason why Tennessee and Arkansas got beat by multiple touchdowns is because of a couple holding calls that didn't go their way. Mrs. Dan's Van says, I'd still rather be a Hogs fan than part of your low-class program, Mizzou. You've never belonged in the SEC. You know nothing of class nor tradition. Again, enjoy your little 15 minutes.
Sour grapes.
More class talk.
Jim, enough with the classy, okay?
I just, the way that's written, I guarantee she has Christ follower in her bio.
Colin, it says Christ follower. Hoping.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm reading it right now. Mrs. Dansby. It says Christ follower. Hoping not to embarrass him. Wife, mom of 5, grandmom of 7, yep. Arkansas Razorback fanatic.
She has made a Chili's hostess cry, I promise you.
Yes, no one is less Christ-like than the people who put Christ follower in their Twitter profiles.
Have one last one here, Brennan, because I don't want to drag down the show. I know we're going to go long here, but Otis Campbell writes, Missouri is only good when the East is down. You beat no one and lost to anyone who was relevant.
Sour grapes.
Well, it's true. Arkansas wasn't relevant, and we did beat them, so I guess there's...
Well, I think it's just indicative of the tweets we get during these games. You could tell, like, these other teams in the SEC haven't watched Missouri football. Not even a little bit. Like, I don't expect people from the Big Ten or Big 12 or ACC or whatever to watch Mizzou SEC football, but... The people in our own conference have no clue about what's going on until we show up to their stadium and break it off in their ass.
Arkansas ought to know by now. It's amazing what their memories aren't capable of, but they're in bad trash. So what can you expect? Arkansas sucks, and these have been sour grapes.
Sour grapes!
All right, Colin, it is time. I think we started to do it last week, but we take a little diversion from Kansas news. This week, we're going to have Arkansas news.
Well, I was heard there were 3 kinds of suns.
Arkansas.
Sunshine, sunflowers, sons of bitches.
This is
Arkansas
news.
Arkansas man in rocking car was having sex with a stuffed animal.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
A 55-year-old Arkansas man was discovered in a compromising position in a rocking car, allegedly having sex with a stuffed animal. A deputy in Baxter County Sheriff's Office arrived at Midway Store and Lock, a commercial storage facility, about 12:45 a.m. to investigate a swaying vehicle. He stated that he observed the vehicle was rocking.
Is this really illegal? What has this guy really done? It's 4 in the morning. He's just trying to have sex with his stuffed animal. Do you really have to bother him? I mean, what has he really done wrong? It's not like he's doing it in front of a school at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, let's see. When the deputy...
I have a lot of sympathy for this guy. And if you're asking, yes, I fuck stuffed animals.
Well, I was going to say, a little too much sympathy, if you ask me. When the deputy peered inside, he observed Theodore T. Morgavin III having sex with a stuffed animal. I want to know what kind of animal we're dealing with here. The sheriff's office...
Was that his real name?
The mirror says, yes, it is. The sheriff's office said They did not give any detail about what kind of animal it was.
He was descendant of British royalty, apparently.
Yeah, the deputy was. The deputy then found a purse containing two marijuana pipes and one syringe during the search of the car.
Nice.
While the
he
other,
was having a night.
I want to know why fucking a stuffed animal allows the guy to do a search and seizure of your vehicle. Anyway, while another deputy later found
I
about.
Don't open it, you might assume somebody's high if you saw that.
He also found 3 grams of methamphetamines in the purse.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that having sex with a stuffed animal is the crime. And the article is not great. I'd like to know, is the crime just being nude in public? I don't know. I agree with you that let people come in whatever they want to come in as long as it's, you know,
they're
sort
not
of,
bothering anybody.
Yeah, they're not bothering anybody.
But then anecdotally, in my real life where I have a job that actually makes money, and unlike this podcast, I sometimes deal with people from a lower socioeconomic part of our society, a trailer park Arkansas type person, you might say. I've noticed a trend where, like, the poorer you are, the more life you've spent living in a trailer, the more likely your kid is named to be, you know, Gerald Kensington Duckworthy the Third. You know what I mean? Like, they think like adding extra names and like the third behind shit is going to make him classy. It's like, no, he's still just going to clean bathrooms at the Casey's. Doesn't matter how many fancy names you give him.
It's kind of a rich man, poor man scenario, I feel like.
Yeah, it's very much is. It's like you can call him Bartholomew Gregory Tate the 11th. And it won't matter because you drank and smoked during the entire pregnancy.
Well, let's get on to our next story, Colin, because it may be a similar circumstance name-wise. Arkansas man arrested, accused of having sex with family's pet donkey. Everett Lee Compton faces multiple counts of bestiality, animal cruelty, and criminal trespassing. An Arkansas man was accused of having sex with a family's pet donkey on multiple occasions. Everett Lee Compton, age 49, faces charges of bestiality, criminal trespassing, and cruelty to animals. Investigators say the donkey's owners, Emmett and Joyce Whitaker, told officers that they'd had issues with the trespasser harassing their pet donkey over the past 3 years.
Jesus. So this is like a...
Well, it's a relationship with the donkey is what it is.
Yeah. They're getting in the way of this of their love, apparently.
Yeah, it's like a Romeo and Juliet story of Arkansas, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The pro...
I never understand these sorts of stories. Like, I obviously don't want to have sex with a donkey, but if I did, I'd be downright scared to try and have sex with a large animal. Like, how do you not go into the scenario scared that you're going to get kicked in the head and end up in a wheelchair with a traumatic brain injury the rest of your life?
Arkansas fans have told us, Colin, the way that you do it is that you wear oversized boots, you have sex with a sheep, and you stick the back legs of the sheep in the boots so they can't kick. That's a sheep, Brennan. That's their strategy.
This is a fucking donkey.
This is Arkansas, Colin. He's graduated to the next level. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're talking about entry level bestiality. Like, how do you get into the game? You're trying to get into the game. And this guy is like, he's the LeBron of bestiality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm just thinking, like, I have never wanted to fuck a human woman so bad I'd put my life at risk for it at this point. I can't imagine doing it for a donkey.
I want to hear more because, like I said, this is a 3-year relationship the guy has had. The problem got so bad that Emmett Whitaker posted several no trespassing and do not feed animal signs. It's not the feeding that's the problem around the property. He also placed a game camera in the field for the guy's OnlyFans cam. Yeah. placed a game cam in the field south of the house where the female donkeys are kept. Thank God it's a female donkey. Imagine what kind of crimes it would be if it was gay donkey sex in Arkansas. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, yeah, I'm surprised that the bestiality is even a crime in Arkansas.
They definitely got some people in the House of Representatives that are going to have a problem with that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't have any problem with you fucking a donkey, but by God, it better be a female because that's God's way. according to the court documents, the camera captured images of a man coming onto the Whitaker's property early in the morning. Pictures show a man placing a bag over the donkey's head, getting behind the donkey and placing their pelvis against the rear of the animal. Now, the bag over the head part of it. Now, this needs some
explanation. We've all been there.
That's just, they're like into stuff. You know what I mean? It's not just straight relationship with a donkey. They're kind of into some stuff.
Don't look at me. Isn't with the accusing eyes of that donkey on him while he's doing his business.
Well, Colin, I'm afraid it's the donkey that feels ashamed. You know what I mean? Like this. That's all I got. That's Arkansas news. Coming in hot. Not too many stories, but it's well earned.
So, yeah, good stories.
You never know what an Arkansas guy is going to have sex with. You can count on it. Let's move on to Around the Horn with the SEC.
We break our bread at Waffle House. Our teams are pretty good. We even play some basketball when Jesus says we should. So pour a little bourbon and repeat right after me. We built a church for Saturdays and called it SEC.
Jesus loves football.
And Colin, would you fire up the Paul Fine bot?
I will, of course.
Alabama, Alabama. Nick Saban.
Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thank you, Mizzou Cast Podcast.
Let's get started.
All righty, let's get started indeed. Ole Miss versus Mississippi State. That was the first game of the weekend. It was on Thanksgiving Day. As we mentioned, Ole Miss is a little butthurt. They have the same record as us, yet we have jumped in the rankings and obviously are on more of a track to get a New Year's Six Bowl. They played Mississippi State. They were a 10-point favorite, and indeed they won 17-7 in Starkville in a very boring Egg Bowl, a game that's usually pretty exciting, but Ole Miss wasn't that impressive against a very bad Mississippi State team.
In terms of great matchups in college football history, this will not qualify.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of teams have drubbed Mississippi State to death, and Ole Miss certainly did not. I mean, take Texas A&M. They beat them 51-10. Texas A&M, not having a great season, 51-10. But LSU barely beats them, and they're supposed to jump Mizzou and a couple other teams in the rankings.
Well, that's one of the things where the Ole Miss fans are mad that Mizzou's ahead of them. They knew it going into this weekend that they needed to impress if they had any hopes of sort of leapfrogging anybody and getting into the New
Year's
Six Bowl.
Yeah, they needed to have a Mizzou versus Arkansas type turnout.
Well, right. And so Mizzou put on that kind of performance, and Ole Miss did not.
Are we sleeping on Missouri?
Well, also had a chance to beat Georgia. In Week 11, they went heads up with Georgia and got dismantled 52-17. These Ole Miss people trying to pump up the resume. I'm like, guys, it's not going to turn out.
Rivalry weekend. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. Obviously, everybody's trying to get into position, but some really good games. Weird games that I think ended up just sort of falling in as we expected it to. Georgia versus Georgia Tech, for instance. Georgia Tech hung with Georgia for a while and kept it close, but at the end of the day, number one, Georgia beat Tech 31-23. That should not impact their position in the college football playoff. They're going to maintain that number one spot. But it was closer than you might think.
You know, those rivalry games, they're always a little bit like that.
And then Florida took on Florida State. Colin, you mentioned that Florida, you know, maybe a better team than their record indicates. Obviously, Florida State lost their starting quarterback last weekend. They're coming in at number five. This was a very close one as well. Florida State ended up winning it 24-15 with 10 fourth quarter points to pull away. But
yeah,
Florida was in this for a long time, and gosh, that would have really upset the apple cart if Florida State had gone down.
Yeah, I watched a lot of this game, and Florida is a couple players away. You know, I think their quarterback's decent. They're a couple players away. You put Luther Burden on that team and Cody Schrader, like two premier players, and they're going to give people fits. There's teams like South Carolina where I'm like, oh, they're a long way away. Or Arkansas, like, oh, they're a long way away. Florida's not. Yeah. And Florida State is good.
They are a really good football team.
And I Norvell is kind of like Drinkwitz, and then everybody's ready to hang him for a while, and he just turned out to take them to a playoff.
I like the backup quarterback kid for Florida. He came in against us. He can run.
Yeah.
He adds another threat to that offense. Anyway, Florida ends the season 5-7, will not go bowling, and Florida State stays in the hunt for the college football playoff, but likely will be the first team on the outside looking in. The next game, Colin, had implications for Missouri. I didn't expect it to, but up until the very last play, Alabama and Auburn, another game that nobody expected to be close. Auburn just got beat by the New Mexico State Lobos, and here comes into town number 8, Alabama. Alabama wins this thing on sort of a desperation 4th-and-31 Hail Mary heave that gets caught in the corner of the end zone to go up. What a backbreaker for Auburn.
Nick Saban.
Had Auburn hung on, we'd have leapfrogged Alabama.
Yeah. And
not sure about that.
I'll never forgive Auburn for this. Like, all you had to do was not give up a Hail Mary, you douchebags. You know, God, it would have been so good for us if they would have won.
What I didn't understand is why they didn't send anybody after the quarterback on these Hail Mary. Like, why give your quarterback all fucking day to find the miracle throw? Because that's what they did. You know, like, make somebody harass him a little bit. You know, I understand that you want to have everybody in the back of the end zone so that there's nobody open. Yeah, but you can afford one or two guys to come at the quarterback. And if you had, maybe you wouldn't have been in the position you're in now.
Oh, I saw a lot of Auburn fans just, you know, wailing and gnashing their teeth. I mean, it was backbreaking, heartbreaking. And you know what? I'm like, fuck you. You deserve it for letting that pass happen. It's one thing if Alabama drives the field and kicks a game-winning field goal, but to give up a touchdown on a Hail Mary last play, like, yeah.
It was brutal and very Nick Saban-esque. Next game, though, Colin, made me much happier. The Kentucky Wildcats went into Louisville, number 10 Louisville, who, much like Ole Miss, was bellyaching about Missouri being ahead of them, and they lost all their arguments when Kentucky beat them 38-31.
Yeah, they got a lot quieter.
Yeah.
But there for a while, we had two programs being salty. It was Louisville and Ole Miss. And now it's just Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Because Louisville shat the bed.
Kentucky, not good this year. They ended up 7-5. And maybe more importantly for them, their coach, Mark Stoops, who apparently had flirted with Texas A&M, or Texas A&M had flirted with him, and that fell through. So he's going to be sticking around in Kentucky a while. Weird, the Texas A&M coaching search stuff. We'll hear more about that, I'm sure, as the weeks go on. But it's not going to be Mark Stoops. He's a Wildcat for now.
Yeah, I was shocked that they were so upset about the suggestion that Mark Stoops would be their coach. They ended up hiring Duke's coach, and everybody's like, yay! And I'm like, why is he so much better than Mark Stoops?
Mark Stoops has done something at Kentucky that nobody's been able to do. I don't know why Mark Stoops isn't on everybody's hot list every year.
And you know how many games Duke won this season? 7. You know how many games Kentucky won?
7.
And the SEC, not the ACC, Trashville.
Yeah.
They finished 8th. And I guess because it's Duke, that's a big deal that they finished 8th, and that's higher than they usually do, or guess, but I'm just like, I just didn't get it. I'm like, why is Mark Stoops a bad hire that's got everybody upset, and this makes everybody happy?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's certainly a departure from what they were trying to do with these home run big name hires like Jimbo Fisher that just aren't working out.
I don't know. At this point for A&M, I'm just like, oh, it doesn't matter who they hire. It's going to fall on their face.
Yeah, fuck them. Speaking of A&M, they got beat by LSU 42-30. They finished the season 7-5. LSU's now 9-3, 14 in the country. So LSU's kind of rolling along. Their defense still sucks, but they produce enough offense with, you know, likely Heisman winner Jaden Daniels as their quarterback that they can beat a lot of teams just by outscoring them. Take the over when you play LSU.
Yeah, he is impressive.
Tennessee took on Vanderbilt. Obviously, Tennessee won 48-24. Tennessee's now 8-4 on the year, and Vandy 2-10, 0-8 in conference. That's just a free win for Tennessee this year. And then the next rivalry, kind of an interesting one, Clemson versus South Carolina. Clemson, not the Clemson of old. They were 7-4 going into this one. This was a close one, but South Carolina never really stood a chance, never led. 16-7, Clemson wins a boring game. And South Carolina finishes a disappointing season 5-7.
Maybe the roster around Spencer Rattler is just really bad, but I've never been big on Spencer Rattler. I never bought much of the hype, but man, he looked bad. Just hasn't it looked good in the games I've watched this year. I don't know what the hype's about. I remember how amped South Carolina was when they got him. You're like, oh, Beamer's going to put Spencer Rattler at quarterback and watch out the Missouris of the world.
I feel like Spencer Rattler's a guy that's, he is either all world or he just doesn't show up at all. And like
you say that, but when's the last time you remember being all world?
I don't know. He's had some games that were very impressive games, and they certainly impressed South Carolina. But, you know, it's been a while. It's been a while. So, and then the final game of the week, obviously the Missouri Tigers defeated the Arkansas Razorbacks 48-14, the most impressive ass kicking of any of them in the conference. Missouri's number 9 in the country, 10-2 on the year, 6-2 on the conference schedule, and finished the year number 2 in the Eastern Division and heading toward a New Year's Six Bowl. Great season for the Tigers. We don't have anything to look forward to next week other than the SEC Championship, number 1 Georgia versus number 8 Alabama. Georgia is a 5-point favorite going into this game. If Alabama were to win this, Colin, this would throw the college football playoff picture into chaos, and it could mean that the SEC will be without a playoff contender for the first time in the history of the college football playoff system.
Yeah, that would be crazy, because even if Georgia lost this game, if you put them up against anybody else who's going to end up in the playoff, I would still pick Georgia.
Yeah, this is an Alabama team which barely beat a bad Auburn team, but Alabama, they seem to get it done. They're Alabama, and so you can never count them out. They're surely going to be up for this game. They've got it all on the line for it. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be on CBS at 3 p.m., and then that'll wrap up the college football season, sadly, in the SEC. Coming down to the end of it, Colin.
Don't you wish the season could last forever? It's so much fun.
Oh, it really is. A season like this, it goes by way too fast. So, hey, there's been a lot of douches this week, Colin. So should we just go ahead and name a TJ Moe
douche of the week?
I think we should.
Part of me, Colin, wanted to skip on past Arkansas, because God knows there's a lot of Arkansas douchebags. We named John Neighbors, who's a huge douche, last week. He could easily be named the douche this time. But maybe I kind of wanted to name Lane Kiffin and some of the Ole Miss fan base, because Lane Kiffin was out there tweeting stuff about why.
Lane Kiffin's always been a douche.
I know. We've never named him douche of the week, though. And I don't know. Going against the Ole Miss people, I don't know if that's the way to go with it. There's also the Mississippi. Do we already name the Mississippi State guy who didn't get his face one is going to get his face tattooed? If Missouri won 10 games, we won our 10 games, and I don't hear anything about a face tattoo coming. I don't know. Dan Mullen.
Yes. I was like, who are we forgetting? I feel like we had a slam effing dunk this week, and I'm forgetting. Dan Mullen is the person I was thinking about.
Yeah. Dan Mullen put out his top 10 and didn't even include Missouri on it because he's still butthurt that Eli Drinkwitz lopped his head off.
Yep. He got fired because Eli Drinkwitz is his dad. Yeah. And they were salty even before that. Mizzou kind of got in a fight with Florida. I don't know if you remember that, Brendan.
Yeah.
In a game. And there was the Darth Vader mask and then Eli Drinkwitz lightsaber. I mean, these two have a history of not liking each other. Drinkwitz is a big part of why Mullen is now sitting behind a desk on television and not coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what makes Mullen a douche is that, knowing all that, he can't be objective about it. You know what I mean? Like, he's taking this bias and carrying it with him, this sour grape mentality, and taking it into his work.
Yeah. Dan Mullen's been douche of the week before because he's such a piece of shit. And just a huge piece of shit, and just clearly has a boner for the Tigers. And he gets out there. Mm. When he launched that top 10, he knew what he was doing. He knew that he had just erased one of the best teams in the country and the number 9 team in the country off of his picture because he wanted to be a piece of shit, because he is a piece of shit. So I'm happy to name Dan Mullen for a second time, I think this season, the TJ Moe douche of the week.
Or TJ Moe piece of shit of the week.
Yeah. He is. It's really a new award would be the Dan Mullen piece of shit of the week. Yeah. Or as Kayla mentioned the other week, Chet from Weird Science piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into a more fun award.
Now it's time for Kirk Farmer's Hair Player of the Game.
Again, I think this is an easy one to give out.
Oh, really? Who?
Well, I mean, Cody Schrader, 270 yards rushing on the ground, a touchdown scored. Seems like a pretty obvious one for me.
Yeah, you know what? You'd think if you look at the if you said, "Hey, before this game, Brett Norfleet's going to score 2 touchdowns."
Yeah,
but he's not going to be player of the game. You'd be like, "Damn!"
Yeah, all right. And he did. He had 2 good touchdowns. He had 3 catches. 2 of them were touchdowns. When your running back scores, puts 217 yards on the ground. How? I mean,
and basically then, in 3 quarters.
We also we had a defensive score. We created 5 turnovers. There's a lot of nominees, but this has been the Schrader show all year long, and I think it belongs in his hands again this week.
Yep.
All right. Well, Cody Schrader, once again, you are the Kirk Farmer's Hair Player of the Game. I guess we got a week to go before we find out where we're going bowling, but
we'll almost certainly have to do some kind of show.
Yeah.
With that.
Well, I think Colin's going to take a little bit of time and maybe some recording to kind of put into perspective just what this season is. I mean, we knew early on, we got 6-7 wins early on, and we knew that we were going to be a winning team, a bowl-worthy team. But what we kept talking about is how we could have a special season, and we have. This has been a very special season for Mizzou, and it's one of the top seasons I've had as a Mizzou fan. And in the moment, it's hard to sort of grasp it. I think sort of you appreciate it more after a couple losing seasons, looking back, being like, oh, remember how great everything was? In the moment, it's hard to soak it all in. But do it as much as you can, because hopefully Collins talked about a permanent change of residency where these kind of seasons are regular. I hope that's true, but a lot of times it's not. And this has been really awesome. And everybody on this team, everybody's coaches team deserves tons and tons and tons of credit. And the fan base is a buzz, and everything at Mizzou is a lot of fun right now. And God, the New Year's Six Bowl, it's going to be awesome. So, I don't know.
Shout out to everybody in the Mizzou community. And like I said, alluded to it earlier, hey, we appreciate all you guys listening to the show. We really do. And we wouldn't do this for 10 years if we didn't have people asking for it. And it's flattering, and we're so glad you listen. And please continue to listen in my
Z-O-U.
I obviously don't want to have sex with a donkey.